Hi, it's Darren DePaul. I'm the voice of Reinhardt in Overwatch. And this is the Level Up Podcast. And we have one thing to say to you. Cash free!
What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome back to episode 148 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for the 148th time by the King of the Courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
Doing well, buddy. But you might want to take a look at that layout over there on Twitch.
I am. I saw that as soon as we went over to it, and I got to love it when you plug in that third monitor and decides to draw from the incorrect display. So I'm going to fix that here real quick because that's just absolutely painful. But you know what? Two clicks of a button, it's fixed, Joey. Our beautiful pictures are now back up on stream. It's a Monday. It feels like it's a Monday. It's always a Monday, Joey. And yeah, I'm not even sure if I did that intro right because I was too busy trying to fix it. How bad was it?
The intro was fine. The screen was funky.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice to see you talking and recording at the same time there. Gave the viewers a new perspective, let's say.
Multitasking Nation. If you want to see more multitasking or more screw-ups on my end, make sure you can follow us on Twitter. You know, Joey's at Courtside King, myself at Fiasco. But don't stop there. You can follow the show also on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. Not the Level Up Podcast. It is Monday, Joey, and I'm having a bad case of the Mondays. That is at the Level Up Podcast, at the LVLUP Podcast. Those handles for the show, Joey and myself, will be in the show notes below if you listen on the podcast. If you're here live on Twitch, welcome to the fiasco that's not named after myself. Just that beginning was rough, Joey. But Nation, yes, you can find those handles right below our beautiful mugshots on Twitch below. And Nation, while you're at it, why not leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice? Let us know how much you hated that intro. Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews go a long way to help grow the show and reach new listeners. When you do have a moment, we'd appreciate you taking a small portion of your time to leave us a review. Nation, it's here. BlizzCon is this weekend. Are you going? Because if you are, can you take us, please? I hear Joey can fit in the overhead compartment in an airplane. Okay, fine, fine. I won't push it. I guess we'll just be watching from our couches, Joey, on the virtual ticket. I'm excited, though. This year's BlizzCon, if rumors are true, this might be absolutely massive. And if there's anything Blizzard needs right now, it's a huge BlizzCon after all the controversy, especially after last year's BlizzCon. Oof. That's all I'm going to say about it. Joey, BlizzCon just happens to be one topic of a vast variety of topics. Joey, what else are we talking about this week on episode 148?
John, it's a vast variety, but a lot of it is actually revolving around Microsoft Xbox and Sony PlayStation. Not only the consoles themselves, but also the deeper market that they're involved in. Microsoft making expansions into PC gaming, as well as subscription-based services. Sony also making moves of their own. So a lot revolved around those two, but as well, League of Legends Worlds is in full swing, so a ton of action there too.
All right, Joey, we have a ton of topics to talk about this week. We have BlizzCon, which I am super psyched about that we're going to be talking about as well. I don't know how we're going to do it. I think we're going to need a little assistance. Of course, I'm talking about a drink of choice, a drink to get us ready for these amazing topics. Joey, for the 148th time, jeez, we have a drinking problem. What is your beverage of choice, sir?
So just to give you a heads up, it is lagging differently this time on my end. So you're actually freezing. I don't know if I'm freezing on your side, but I heard everything. I'm just catching the end of some of these things. So just to give you a heads up.
You're good.
Discord's giving us the reverse lag this time. Drink-wise, I'm going Yingling. Back to the classic. Mm. A little Pennsylvania action here. I can't remember where this is from in Pennsylvania, but I know it is locally brewed up there. So I'm excited. I love Yingling. I feel like it's one of the staple beers here in America, for me at least. So I'm back to the trail.
An East Coast product. We're not biased or anything there. Joey,
where is it from? Do you remember? Oh, Pottsville. That was going to be one of my guesses.
I was going to say Lancaster, but you know, I was just
close enough, right?
Joey, while you're on the East Coast, I have decided to go across the country to the West Coast for my beverage. I am actually having a nice glass of wine. This is a Cabernet Sauvignon. My French accent is atrocious. It's a Robert Mondavi Private Selection Cabernet that is aged in a bourbon barrel. Joey, that is like liquor and adult grape juice in one. I could not be more excited. I had a glass of it for dinner, and I'm finishing off the bottle. I had multiple glasses for dinner. I'm going to finish off the bottle right here on the Level Up podcast. I mean, I'm excited. You should be excited, Joey. It's delicious. It's adult grape juice. Like, smooth. What else is smooth?
How are the tannins treating you over there?
Oh, it's fantastic. Joey, it is some... When we watch BlizzCon, I'm going to bring a bottle of this over, and you're going to see how smooth it is. And just like this upcoming transition, that's going to be uber smooth. Joe, let's get right to gaming and esports news. Let's go!
Wow, how smooth, John. Let's light the way with our first topic here with Luminosity Gaming adding Zenaya Zenaya Esdesu and Exens alongside coach Zeon ZP. So they are going to be coming in as the new Apex squad for Luminosity, and that does mean they bid farewell to Chipsy, JP2, and Crank H1Z1. I do not believe that's the Pope that's leaving there at Luminosity, but hey, maybe he takes him as a mentor in life. But I think this is a good move overall. I can't say I follow the Apex scene that closely, but it does seem like they needed a change of pace. They weren't up there as a top squad. Now you're bringing in a completely new squad, which in some sense, switching a player here and there does it. I think in Luminosity's case, it does make sense to bring in a completely new squad, a new coach. Let's try this from the start again. Apex still being one of those scenes that really has room to grow. It's seen a lot of growth early on, and it filtered off, and now it's kind of seeing some more come up with the newest season. But it's one of those esports scenes that has potential, and I think Luminosity wants to buy into it with a new roster coming for this new season.
Yeah, and if we can remember several months ago when Apex was just thrown into our laps here, completely unannounced, just thrust it out there, everyone thought this was going to be the Fortnite killer. And then after about a month and the, let's call it mishandling from its studio, it kind of fell off. Like, there was so much hype around this game. I mean, you had Ninja playing it. You had Shroud playing it. You had all the big-name streamers playing it. You had almost every big name esport organization jump into Apex, and then we kind of see how it fell off a little bit, and Fortnite is still reigning king. Fortnite also, with their new Chapter 2 marketing scheme they did with the black hole and everything, is at an all-time high. It was like almost 1 million people watching a freaking black hole. That's all I'm going to put there. Apex still trying to regain ground. I think they can do it, and Luminosity is buying into this idea. And I like it. Apex, I enjoy the game from the Battle Royale standpoint. I think it's unique. I think it's slightly different than some of the other Battle Royales out there. I think it's what PUBG wants to be, just done better with the more realistic graphics. A lot of potential there, but again, it's going to take a lot to dethrone Fortnite. But it's good to know an organization like Luminosity is kind of re-upping themselves here in the Apex scene.
Right, and Luminosity's been one of those teams that's been historically pretty decent in shooters. I mean, obviously CSGO, there was a lot of movement going on around their team back then, between the deals with SK, between the deals, I just lost the other organization down there, but they've had a lot of big deals in shooters. In particular, Counter-Strike was one of the bigger names, now making more moves in Apex. Like I said, John, and like you said, I think it's a good move overall. It's a scene with potential. I don't think they're paying too much up front for these roster moves, but at the same point, if the scene does begin to grow, they have new footing to begin on. Mizzou Esports has announced a partnership with MSI. This deal will see MSI provide gaming systems and resources to the university for the 2019 collegiate season. Students in Mizzou Esports. This means they now have the ability to train and compete in the MSI training facility, a new area that's equipped with adequate gaming equipment. They say adequate. I have a feeling it's pretty darn good gaming equipment, broadcasting capabilities, and space for spectators.
This is huge. This is absolutely huge. If you are a computer nerd, if you're a PC gamer, you know MSI. MSI is, I believe, a Taiwanese company that makes all these computer components. Actually, my streaming computer that I just finished building is all MSI. They are great, reliable products. They're easy to use. If you are new to like overclocking or kind of like that high performance level of computer gaming, super simple to kind of get the most out of your computer without having to know the ins and outs of what you need to do to overclock. Really, really nice setup that they have. They have been growing like crazy in North America, and this is just another step forward for them. They've been involved in esports for a very long time. Now they're hopping deeper into collegiate esports. This is a huge deal for Missouri. I couldn't be more excited for Mizzou. This is absolutely huge. I mean, this is like on the same level as like if Logitech like went all in at like, let's say, Michigan, or let's say like SteelSeries went all in. Slightly different because they do like mouse and keyboard stuff, but it's still pretty much up there. It's an absolutely massive sponsorship that's going to help excel collegiate esports, especially Mizzou now.
Right, and it's not only the name being there, but the fact they're helping develop the facility is a whole nother big deal as well, because now you're going to have your teams competing on the best of platforms. Some people can argue MSI is not the top level, but I think a lot of people would put it up there in the top three at the very least. You were correct, by the way, John. They are Taiwanese. We're going to play random trivia now.
Oh, boy.
What year were they founded? I'll give you within five.
1985.
Damn, that was pretty good. 1986.
Let's go.
Yeah, August 4th, 1986. They were 33 years old just a couple months ago. So yeah, really exciting stuff there. I think it's a really good partnership. I think it's the first of many to come. You mentioned one of the schools I could see jumping in pretty soon, Michigan. They're already expanding their esports program. Ohio State, another one. Syracuse being another big one. I think a lot of these bigger schools are going to end up pulling in more of these deals just like Mizzou did here. My throat is killing me right now. Fnatic and Cloud9, baby, that beautiful flag in the back of your seat area. Cloud9, Fnatic, I didn't wear a Fnatic jersey tonight. I'm still mourning. They've expanded their new merchandise partnership by introducing the FNC9 bar in Madrid this past weekend, as well as this weekend ahead. That's going to be running October 26th through November 3rd for those of you who want to see dates on a calendar. You can watch the games, get your face painted, buy merch, and much, much more there. John, Fnatic has done this in the past. They've opened up pop-up bars. This is the first time collaborating with another organization to do so. And I think that's the biggest point here. Not only do you have the apparel collaboration that completely sold out online in hours, then on top of that, you have this collaboration that's continuing to develop. And I think the coolest thing about this is now Fnatic fans have a new way to get to NA fans, and then Cloud9 fans have a new way to get to EU fans, as well as those organizations to market to those other markets as well.
This is the bromance that keeps on giving. Like, this is absolutely fantastic. To all of our Madrid listeners, this would be a great place to take your favorite C9 friend on a date to. C9 fans, this is a great time to go to Madrid and meet a lovely Fnatic fan and go on a date with them. I mean, this is outstanding. I wish I could go to this FNC9 bar. I mean, and let's think about this. FNC and C9 being combined in that title. FNC9 is, Joey, I know it's not going to happen, but if there was ever to be a major esport organization merger, I feel like it would be between Fnatic and Cloud9, just because of, like, it feels like wherever esports go, they're there hand in hand, and their fingers are interlocked. They're caressing each other's hair. It's fantastic. It's amazing. This is the relationship these two organizations have. It's awesome, but it's also a little weird, like how outward they are with it. Like, there's no other esports organizations out there that have this kind of relationship, if we can even call it that. Like, it is insane.
No, I mean, the way they intertwine the logos, too, it feels like they were almost made to be intertwined. though I do feel like you need to throw a PG-13 label up on that thing. It does look like they're a little all over each other. I think TL and G2, if I remember correctly, tried an apparel partnership after the C9 and Fnatic one went off. They went off as the best of the regions or something like that, or the best of the West. And then TL continued to lose right after that. So that one kind of fell apart from the seams of things. But G2 is moving on. So Team Liquid exited early, but then G2 beat out Fnatic and C9 as far as advancing, and we will talk about that later in the show. But overall, I think this is the beginning of what we'll see more of as well, especially smaller organizations. Big ones like Fnatic and C9, Team Liquid and G2, it does allow them to expand their marketable reach, but at the same point, I think those smaller organizations could even benefit from something like this even more. Riot announced a ton of games this past week. They almost started a riot in the gaming world. But they have a big, big game in Legends of Runeterra. This is one that's being very heavily marketed and pulling in tons and tons of attention as a possible Magic the Gathering / Hearthstone / Artifact competitor, if you even count Artifact anymore at this point. They had a preview program. It started at the end of October, shortly after the stream, and now they gave us a roadmap through about halfway through 2020 of what to look forward to for that game. Kicking things off, Expeditions preview patch will be running November 14th through the 19th. Again, this is still invite only, but the idea with this is going to add a draft-based game mode, which at least to me, John, sounds like a lot of fun. It kind of makes me think a bit more like Clash Royale with the way the draft works in that type of a pseudo card game, I guess you could say, but with a Hearthstone spin, obviously, to it. I think this is a really creative, really possibly fun approach. I could also see this being a single-player type of game mode. I haven't played Hearthstone in a while, but they added, it was some kind of like adventure mode where you drafted cards each round and then moved on and you unlocked new cards as you went down this level, like dungeons or something like that. I think this is the way it'll end up going. I think it'll be that single player based mode, but either way, I think that is an exciting proposition. Then we have the closed beta expanding and returning in early quarter 1, 2020, so probably that January to March range. It'll be a ranked queue edition added into that one, new boards and guardians, as well as a friends list and friend challenge. So, John, if you need help beating the innkeeper, I might be right there alongside you on your new friends list over there. And then we're going to see the full launch in later 2020, I would estimate around June, July range, maybe even August, and that'll launch on mobile as well as PC and give open access to everyone.
Beating the innkeeper, really, Joey? Really? Like 3 weeks in a row now? I appreciate that.
I mean, maybe in this it'll be the summoner. You'll have to beat the summoner.
I'm not playing it.
Do you think you won't? I actually think you might give it a try.
I mean, I probably will give it a try. It's a Riot game. I mean, but like every other mobile game, I'll probably just brush it off to the side like I always do. Let's be real here.
So I have applied for access. At least to my knowledge, I haven't checked my email in the last couple of days on that account,
denied.
But I don't believe I've gotten in yet.
You were denied.
Did you apply?
No, but I can tell you were denied.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully I get in at some point. I'd like to give it a try. It's one of those games I don't know if I'd be with it long term, but it is appealing, especially the, I'm going to say, free-to-play model that they're going with. Again, Hearthstone is free-to-play, but there's a lot of purchases involved. I feel like Legends of Runeterra's system allows for more friendly free-to-play options, I guess we can say. It's really not dedicated to you have to pay to stay up with the highest level people to really compete in general. Like Hearthstone, I feel like you had to buy new expansions the way they set it up. If you didn't buy expansions, you fall off. If you're like me, a casual player, you get stuck to playing Wild or you have to spend a lot of money to even be able to get in there. Pretty much why I dropped Hearthstone at this point. I love the idea of paying to really support developers, to buy into the game more, but I do like the option of being able to earn content in-game a lot easier than what we saw with Hearthstone as well. So I think Legends of Runeterra may have found that balance for casual players versus competitive players versus allowing everyone to be on somewhat equal footing. You can still buy cards, obviously. The developers need to make money, but there is a cap on how many cards you can buy at certain times. As well as with the new expansion. So I'm excited to try that out. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm hoping to get into that beta, maybe by January. We'll see what happens.
Denied.
I'm going to deny you, Innkeeper Boy. Tencent has gained majority control of mobile developer Supercell. I think this is the most crazy, absolutely obnoxious news that fell under the radar this past week. Tencent is already a freaking giant. Like, we're talking like King Kong, but it covers the whole city of Hong Kong. Like, Tencent is freaking ginormous when it comes to gaming, when it comes to music, entertainment in general, especially in China and really worldwide. Now you're bringing in possibly, if not the biggest, mobile game developer in Supercell. You have the majority share. And we've seen them go this majority share route before, John. In fact, they did it with Riot Games, and then they completely went and bought them outright years later. I think we see the same thing happening here with Supercell.
It's insane. It's insane. And Supercell has made like games since 2011. Like, just go down a list here real quick. This is how big this company has gotten prior to this, you know, Tencent swooping in here. Gunshine.net is a discontinued game that was their only non-mobile game. Launched in 2011, shut down November 30th, 2012. It was a browser game. For our younger viewers out there, back in the early 2000s, there was a time, there was like, I think it was like, oh, there are game websites that were like Flash games. It was like, I'm blanking on some of the names. Like I want to say like albino black sheep was one of them, or that was like one of those.
Oh yeah. Yep. Mini clip is another one.
Yeah. So like sites like that have like really cool, you know, mini flash games, kind of like that. That's kind of what, you know, Gunshine.net reminded me of. You had Pets versus Orcs in 2012, also discontinued. Battle Buddies 2012, also discontinued. Heyday, Clash of Clans, Boom Beach, all three of those still available. Spooky Pop, Smashland, both of those are discontinued. Clash Royale, Brawl Stars, and apparently there's another one in beta right now called Rush Wars. I mean, look, let's be real here. This is a monster of a mobile gaming studio, and now Tencent swooping in. Like this is huge, Joey, for mobile gaming.
I was just checking if I could download Rush Wars. Not available.
No, it's in beta right now.
I was seeing if they maybe pre-approved me.
The beta version's only available in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. So, Joey, we may need to take a small trip up to Canada.
Mm. Darn, not happening just yet. Yes. But I think this is huge. I mean, Tencent has already put so much money into mobile gaming. I mean, they invested in Activision Blizzard, which had King is their big mobile company over there. Maybe Diablo Mobile 2 will be a big thing. Who knows? But there's a lot of different companies that they already invest in. Zynga, I think, is another one they invest in, if I remember correctly. So it's just tons of investments, especially in mobile games. They already have some of the most biggest, ginormous mobile games in China as well as the world. Honor of Kings is one we mentioned last week. It has a few different names depending on the region. But when it comes down to it, Tencent knows how to work mobile gaming. They know how it's done. And if you're looking at anyone else who knows how it's done, you could argue Candy Crush was popular for a while with King. But Clash of Clans has been around for God knows how long. It feels like that game will not die. Clash Royale is continuing to thrive. Yeah, its esports scene was not quite the greatest debut in history. It has gotten better since. I actually watched a match recently, like 2 months ago or such.
2 months is not
just
recently,
one match.
Joey. I'm not
but compared to us,
that.
When did we watch the first one though? It was like over a year ago, wasn't it?
It doesn't matter. It was trash and should never be revisited, Joey. It was that bad.
Well, it's funny you say that. I actually started playing Clash Royale again this month.
No comment.
I just downloaded it. I was like, okay, so this game is still widely getting more and more players. Why is it still succeeding? And I ended up downloading. They have a new battle pass option.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say it is the best battle pass available anywhere, including Fortnite's battle pass, including all these other battle passes. It just feels like it gives you so much return. It's like $5 to buy into it, if I remember correctly. And on top of that, you get tons of in-game gold. You get custom emotes. You get all of this different stuff. And it allows you to get better at the game as well as just get those custom options. So I have to say, they're number one battle pass for me at this point, which is kind of crazy for a mobile game. But overall, if you look at Tencent is setting themselves up for so much success in technology, especially in gaming for the next 5 to 10 years. I think this bid on Supercell to be the majority owner is going to end up turning out really well for both parties involved, especially with distribution in China. Then from there, I think we see Tencent continue to buy more and end up being the full owner of Supercell 5 years down the road. Any objections to that?
Tencent's a beast.
Perfect. Tencent's scary. They are the Amazon of China, it feels like, recently. Yeah. Xbox's Mike Ybarra has joined Blizzard as the executive vice president and general manager. He's set to start on November 4th, and he will be at BlizzCon. In addition to this, if you guys don't know who Mike Ybarra is, he was the corporate vice president of just about everything Xbox at Microsoft. So pretty much right under Phil Spencer over there for the past few years. And he's been with Microsoft as a company for 20 years now. So he brings a wealth of knowledge and experience. He knows what goes very well in gaming, a la the Xbox 360 launch. But then he also knows what does not go so well, the early ages of the Xbox One. So he's been through a lot. He knows what players want. He's very good at listening to players overall. Even if Microsoft has suffered with that at times, it seems like they are on the right path now. Mike Ybarra being one of those gamers who's very accessible as well. I actually have him on my Xbox friend list. I've played games with him before. I've played with him on PC too. Really down-to-earth guy, really friendly, really diversifies and really jumps into diverse communities. I think he's going to bring a lot of love to Blizzard. Blizzard is one of those companies that really gets stuck up on those corporate routes at times, and we've seen it happen with Microsoft as well. I think Mike is going to bring in a lot of his experience from those Xbox days and how they got through that path. They're now much more people-friendly and customer-friendly in general, I would say. they actually listen to the people that play their games. And I think Blizzard does a lot of that, but I think there's a lot of room to still move and continue to grow that fans desire with Activision Blizzard, especially with recent events. I think Mike is going to bring a lot of that to the table here as the executive VP.
Okay, so I have to go back to that little flex you just did. How in the world do you have this guy on your friends list? And how much did you pay him to be your friend?
He was just adding a bunch of people one day. I think it was like a Twitter comment. But then he ended up adding me. And I don't remember the game we played with one another. But it was some kind of game we played at one point on Xbox. So I have him on there. And I have him on, what's the Anthem launcher? The EA launcher, whatever that's called.
Origin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so
now
he's a cool dude. He's one of those people that's on a high level that actually answers tweets as well, which absolutely amazes me. You don't see so many like high level execs answering things, but he feels like he doesn't answer every tweet, but he answers quite a few of them.
Well, now, Joe, you're going to have to resubscribe to WoW, and now you can be in his guild, too, and you can be a guildie of his. Yeah. Well, you know what? He probably plays Alliance, so you don't want to do that.
I'm pretty sure he does play WoW, though.
He's probably an Alliance. No comment.
I'm pretty sure you have Alliance characters too over there.
But all my mains are Horde, sir. Thank you very much. When I get bored, I play Alliance. That's it. Which is never.
Anything else on Mike Ybarra? I think this is a huge, 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 huge deal for gaming in general as well as Activision Blizzard.
You should get
him
on the show.
I don't know if we know each other that well.
Or the
pretty
shot.
Sure he has probably 1,000 some friends on his friends list at least. But yeah, really cool move. So I'm excited to see how that goes. I think having him at BlizzCon will be good for fans as well. Since he's not really working with the company yet, he might do some behind the scenes stuff with them. But I think for the most part, he'll really be right in the middle of fan groups, getting to know them, getting to know what fans want, communicating and talking to them before he moves into this role. So I'm super, super excited for this move.
And he's going to see what kind of situation he's going to be walking into when he starts with Blizzard on the 4th based upon what's going to happen at BlizzCon. Not just from like some of like the super secret, like behind the scene announcements that haven't been teased or anything yet. But still like, you know, we talked about it the other week, you know, with all the, you know, heat that Blizzard's been getting for, the suspension of players regarding Hong Kong and everything. So there's going to be a lot of tension this BlizzCon. So he's going to have a good opportunity to see the kind of community he's walking into and hopefully he'll listen and go from there. We'll leave it there.
I have no doubt that he'll listen. I do have a bit of doubt in how Activision's leadership will give him the ability to follow through with what he listened to. So he's one of those guys that really listens to gamers, but we've seen those higher level execs in these big corporate companies, or at least the boards that overlook them, not necessarily give them full rights into what they can do. So I think Mike will bring a lot of experience and opinions to the table. It just depends how Activision's big bosses and stockholders really allow them to move forward with these decisions. So TBD on that one. We are sticking with Microsoft and then Sony because there's a lot of news for both of them. Microsoft continues to polish their newly acquired taste for PC gaming with more Xbox Game Bar enhancements. They've added a FPS counter for your frames per second, as well as achievement tracking. John, do either of these features mean a lot to you?
I do kind of like me some achievements, but I don't go out of my way to get achievements unless it's a game I really like. So I'm going to go ahead and go with no. Not really.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I am a huge fan, but they're not like the biggest changes out there. I feel like a lot of people have really liked the idea of the FPS counter in particular. A lot of those competitive gamers have been mentioning it. For me, the achievement tracking is the thing. I really miss, from my days as an Xbox gamer like a year ago, I really, really miss the sound that achievements made when you unlocked them on Xbox. That little like ding that I can't really describe. I just feel like there was so much energy behind that. Like, ooh, I unlocked an achievement. What did it do? How did I get it? I love those moments, and PC has not quite replicated that for me yet. I think now that the Xbox Game Bar has this, it's a bit more of that achievement hunting. Like, ooh, what do I need to do in this area to try to unlock this crazy achievement that only 5% of people have? And they have added the noise in as well to a degree. It's not the same noise. It's like that Windows, like, you have a notification. You need to update 3,000 apps at once type of thing. But at the same point, at least we have a noise now. So we're moving in the right direction, I feel like.
Yeah, and, you know, here's my thing. Adding an FPS counter, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're playing an FPS on a gaming computer, you already have this available. You have this available through your motherboard, or you have it available through your graphics card. There's already it's mainly going to be through your graphics card. I think, I could be wrong, I think MSI motherboards do offer, maybe Asus motherboards offer an FPS counter as well. Mm-hmm. But FPS counters are not unique. I mean, they're not as rare as some people like to make them out to be. Like, you could easily turn it on and off on your computer right now. It doesn't have to be a gaming computer. I'm pretty sure you could be able to do it.
I think a lot of games include them automatically as well now.
And that too. Like, I know Overwatch has it automatically included in the overface, something you can turn on and off in the UI settings. So, you know, okay, cool, awesome. Achievement tracking, you know, yeah, I would argue that's one place PC has kind of lacked at. Like, Steam, cool, okay, yeah, you have achievements. It's that little card that pops up in the corner that you never notice because there's no sound, there's no nothing. But yeah, I will give you that. That is one thing that when I did have my my emo phase when I went to Xbox during the PlayStation Network hacking several years ago, getting that little notification chime when you got the achievement was very, it was nice. Like, you're like, hey, I accomplished something. It's weird. Like, but you get the same. Like, I get the same feeling in WoW. When I do something and it's like, oh, that was an achievement. Or, you know, first time I complete a raid, you know, when you get through certain stages of the raid, you get an achievement. That when you complete the raid, it's like this massive achievement. Like, hearing that sound, seeing it pop up on your screen, like, it's kind of like a virtual pat on the back. It's weird. It's like you get, like, kudos from a video game. It's just someone programming that crap in there. And it's like, oh, I feel better. I just wasted 6 hours running that raid. I'm not referring to anything I did last week, but totally. But yeah, no, I think achievement tracking is really cool, and I think that's going to be something that a lot of gamers are going to like with the Xbox.
I mean, I love the idea of achievement tracking, but the idea of emo console exclusivity is almost a whole new thing for us here on the Level Up Podcast.
I'm not biased.
Yeah, I did not see that link coming. That one completely took me off guard. But yeah, I think it's a good move overall. I think the FPS counter, more than anything, is Xbox and Microsoft trying to say, hey, everything is going to be accessible by pressing the Win plus G key. They want everything to be there. I mean, if I click it right now, hopefully nothing happens. I have a chat option up. I have automatic video capture for pictures and video up. I have the ability to search for friends online. I have another chat feature available there. I have my full audio for everything on my computer. I have Spotify available. I have performance for my GPU, my RAM, my CPU, as well as these new features available. So I can pretty much move everything any way I want. I can show certain things, not show certain things, customize it completely. This to me is a big, big move by Xbox, not only in the features they're adding being this FPS and the achievement counter, as much as I do really like the achievement counter, I think the bigger thing here is that Xbox is continuing to show that they are ready to continue to expand into PC gaming. We've seen them take such a lackluster approach in PC gaming in the last 3, 5, 10 years, really. Now they're showing we're continuing to develop this game bar. We're continuing to, thank God, look into ways to improve the Windows Store or Microsoft Store or whatever it's called, because downloads in there seem to take 10 to 20 times longer than any other client anywhere.
So bad.
So I want to see that improve next, even more than these FPS counters and achievement things. But I do like the fact we're still seeing them take some kind of focus in PC gaming, games being designed for the ground up as well, not just ported over to PC. Gears 5 has its issues still, but Gears 4 compared to Gears 5, the game itself runs so much smoother than Gears 4. So I think the fact that we're seeing more and more development focused toward PC as well in the first person or first party Xbox games is also big. So as PC gamers now, me being about a year into PC gaming outside of League of Legends, I feel like this is a really, really good move for Microsoft. They identify that PC is the way to go. They see that the majority of esports leagues are played on PC, as well as the huge potential in PC. They're not giving up on the console crowd, but they're also showing we're ready to give more love back to those who play on Windows. Okay, continuing to move on, Xbox has paid out $1.2 billion to independent developers this generation. Again, this one doesn't have to be crazy pro Xbox. I think it's really big that it is Xbox, but at the same point, it just shows how much love indie game developers are getting, whether it be from Xbox, whether it be from Sony. It just shows there are so many more really pathways for independent developers to make their way into mainstream gaming. A lot of these games you'll probably never hear of, you'll probably never play. But a number of them will end up making their way to Game Awards or will end up being played, especially with Game Pass as an option now. The Steam Summer Sale, another big option. Humble Bundle gives a lot of these opportunities. There's more and more games being developed. And with Microsoft helping fund them, we're going to see more and more out there as well. So I really like this move. It's just one of those really consumer-friendly, gamer-friendly moves. Anything else on that, my little indie player? Figured you liked that one. Still rolling on again. I am an Xbox fan, but Xbox are just really in the news this week. But Sony, we're going to get there. Don't worry. Xbox Elite Series 2 controller has been tested to last up to 40 hours of gameplay on a single charge. This to me is crazy. I mean, how long do your controller batteries last, John? I don't remember mine lasting even like a fourth of that.
I don't know. Maybe like 12 hours?
I feel like 10 to 15 is like the average, right?
Yeah, and like if I'm really going on a gaming binge, maybe 8. I guess it really depends. You know, it really depends on like what the game utilizes too. Like if it's like using the rumble packs that are built into the controller, if it's, you know, I feel like 8 to 10 hours is going to be your standard for your battery life for continuous play. But yeah, 40 hours on a single charge is ridiculous. I even think like wireless mice for PC. I feel like if you don't have a charging mouse pad that constantly charges your mouse, I think even that doesn't even reach the 24-hour mark for continuous play. I don't know too many people that play 24 hours straight, but... yeah, I mean, 40 hours is really good. That's like the more time you can be untethered from a cord is great. And really, the consoles have gotten to a point where there's pretty much no lag, if not the same amount of input lag there is with a corded device versus a wireless. PC's gotten there too. There's a lot of studies out there right now with gaming mice that the wireless connectivity is just as good as wired. So there isn't that crazy lag that we knew of and reason why a lot of people hated wireless mice. So it's great seeing technology finally get to that place where we don't have to worry about, you know, a bajillion cords on our desk. So it's really cool. The wireless prices are still ridiculous. But we finally gotten there technology-wise where batteries are now lasting 40 hours. Wireless is just as good as wired. So it's really, really cool that the Elite Series 2 controller can last 40 hours on a single charge.
Right. Absolutely amazing. And that does come at a premium price, though. I don't have the price in front of me, but I know it is considerably more than a normal controller.
You don't want to look at it.
So you do get that battery price or that battery life, but you're also going to be paying for the battery life. So you're paying for what you get in that sense, but it is kind of cool that it is available at that option with that high battery life. Xbox expands its design for Xbox ecosystem to include mobile gaming. This is big for everyone on PC, on Xbox, or phone gaming. Project xCloud got announced last year, their mobile streaming service. Now they're continuing to expand. It's being rolled out. People are testing it, public tests at this point as well. It is a beta program, so you do have to apply to get in, but now they are rolling into that next phase, so it means it is continuing to move forward. This move pretty much just means we're allowing people to design different systems. So instead of just getting controllers or headsets or wireless headsets, wireless controllers, vice versa, all of these different features, chat pads, all of that, they're now going to include stuff for mobile gaming as well. So you can have the little, I guess it's like a stand thing that connects to the controller where you can place your phone in it, or there'll be other opportunities for accessories down the road, and they've opened that up to a whole bunch of developers. I think it's a really good move. I think this is, again, Xbox and Microsoft being forward-focused, in particular with mobile gaming. Not just mobile gaming on a phone, but mobile gaming with the ability to stream from an Xbox and potentially later a PC as well to play those type of games on your phone. I haven't tested this yet, so we won't dive too much into it, but at least from what I've heard, John, and I'm curious to hear what you've heard, I've heard there's almost like very, very little, not quite zero, but not quite 10% input lag. Like it's very small, especially in games. They've tested Gears of War and they've tested Halo from what I've heard. So a lot of really, really good feedback from this. I'd be curious to see how much of that is on like a stronger Wi-Fi versus weaker Wi-Fi, what the megabyte speed is, and all that kind of stuff, like the download versus upload. What are we looking at as far as these different speeds go for these tests? But overall, all I've heard is very, very positive feedback.
Yeah, the biggest thing that to take into account there when it comes to mobile gaming is that connection speed with your internet. It's not really going to be the phone's fault. It's not going to be anything there. It's definitely going to be, you know, your ability for your phone to transmit data and receive data back. That's, I feel like, where mobile gaming has struggled when it comes to trying to have like that crossover feel in relations to traditional gaming, in relations to PC gaming. When we talk about input lag, especially when it comes to like mice, we're looking at like less than 1 millisecond of a delay, which is for the average person, you're not going to be able to notice a difference. For an extreme gamer that has everything fine-tuned, your DPI and everything, you may notice it. But wired mice still have a 1 millisecond delay. And you said, Joey, they may be like a 10% input delay?
I've heard some people feel zero.
Yeah, so that is going to come down to your internet connection. You know, do you have 4G? Are you connected to Wi-Fi? Are you connected to a strong Wi-Fi? Are you connected to a Wi-Fi that has, you know, a gigabyte? Are you connected to a public Wi-Fi that you're lucky to get 20 up, 20 down? That's the real issue when it comes to mobile gaming, is that internet speed. You have to be connected to a high-speed Wi-Fi really to take advantage of a lot of these really cool features. And while most of North America has access to high speed, for those people that may not be in those areas, you know, in rural America, where, you know, it hasn't been rolled out yet, they're going to feel it. They're going to feel that lag. And it's not the game's fault. It's just the internet. It's being able to connect and have that fast enough speed that the information that you put in can be relayed to the servers and come back. There's so much that goes into it.
Right. And I think the bigger story here as well is the fact of the timing based on Stadia coming out from Google. Yeah. I believe Google Stadia comes out in November, so this next upcoming month. There's going to be a lot of competition there between them and Microsoft's Project Cloud or xCloud, as well as these other services being implemented in this cloud-based gaming. How will it compete with Stadia? I think it's good that they're rolling out this trial now, because now you're getting that positive feedback. People might choose to wait for Microsoft's option before buying into Stadia. At the same point, you're letting your competition release first. We are still in a beta period, and it's not fully public accessible. So some people may end up going with that Stadia option, even though it did show considerable input lag when they first announced it. So we'll have to see what Google's done, how it's improved, as well as what Microsoft's final product looks like. But I think it is a very interesting and intriguing proposition to see how these two end up combating each other in this mobile gaming. Purchase an Xbox One with Xbox All Access for no upfront cost. Special upgrade offer available for a limited time. John, I'm really curious to get your thoughts on this deal, because I think it's brilliant. So it's going to include a console, 24 months of Game Pass Ultimate, 18 months of console upgrade option, or 12 if you go with the Xbox One X. We're looking at $19.99 for 24 months for the Xbox One S all digital, $22.99 for 24 months for the Xbox One S, and $30.99 for 24 months of the Xbox One X, with an option for 12 months instead if you do an upgrade immediately. I think this is a really cool and intriguing model that Xbox is bringing to console gaming in general. In particular, this is the model we see with phones a lot of the time now. If a new Samsung phone is released, if a new iPhone is released from Apple, a lot of carriers allow for this development where you can buy in at a monthly price. Instead of paying that big price tag up front, you pay a certain charge maybe for an upgrade cost if you don't have free upgrades. You pay maybe a tax cost up front on your next bill, but then you pay a monthly fee with an option of 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, all these different options for when you eventually want to upgrade your phone. This to me is another really good move. I love the idea of it. I don't like the timing of it. I think if anything, you maybe sell the Xbox One X option, because then you can automatically upgrade 12 months later. But with the new consoles coming out in 12 months, I don't know why anyone would really jump into the 24-month option at this point.
So here's my only concern. And while I love the phone analogy you make, let's be real here. If you are not 18 years of age, this is essentially a financing deal. It is essentially what this is. You are locking yourself into an agreement that says, I'm going to pay X amount of money for 24 months or 12 months or whatever length of this contract's going to be. and I'm going to pay X amount of dollars per month. And you're essentially leasing, in the example you provided, Joey, you're leasing the phone. It's kind of the same way here. You're leasing the console until it's fully paid off, and then you're going to have the option to possibly purchase it outright or upgrade it, or if we're sticking with that phone analogy, which I like that idea also. But here's the issue. If you're not 18, you have to have a parent to sign off on this. Now, for some parents, they may say, hey, look, this is a way I can get the console for my kid, and I don't have to drop $800 up front for a console. So it makes sense. And I feel like this is also a good opportunity to possibly explain to kids at a younger age financing and the idea behind, you know, pros and cons versus financing it over time versus buying something up front. Take a look. There's so many different things that go into this. My worry, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. My worry is that you're going to get a lot of kids that see this and say, hey, I can get a new Xbox for $20 a month. My monthly allowance is $40. That still leaves me with $20 for the month. Now, I don't know any kid that only gets $40 for a month, but still, that's kind of what their thing is. Like, I'm like, when I was 14, if I saw this, I'd be like, oh, this is great. This is absolutely fantastic. I don't know if I'd be able to afford it, but I like the idea. I agree with you. I don't like the timing, especially with the new consoles coming out, but I think it's very, I feel like if a kid is not knowledgeable enough about financing going down this road, that it could end up in a bad place. Not saying with Xbox, but just the idea behind financing. So it's interesting. I do like it. I like the ability because, like Joey, we talked about it the other week, this next generation of consoles is going to be absolutely expensive. It's going to be the most absurd pricing ever. I think the PlayStation 5, at a price leak, goes like close to like $700-$800, depending upon storage site. It's something absolutely ridiculous. So it's going to be a good option, but it's weird marketing this to kids. It's right up there with the whole loot box system. It's, you know, with the whole gambling argument there. Is it right to like tease financing to kids like this?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I think on my side, it's going to be much more positive, particularly with the parent mention you had earlier. When you're a parent looking at this deal, I think it's a really, really good deal. Because not only are you getting the Xbox, we have to keep in mind all the other content you're getting as well. Because you're getting Xbox Live. That's a, I don't know the breakdown, $60 a, what is that, $4 a month? Is that what it breaks down to? $60
divided by 12? If you buy it for a full year up front, it's $60.
Yeah, so $60 a year for Xbox Live. Then on top of that, you're getting Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which is $15.99, which includes that Xbox Live subscription. So let's just say it's Game Pass in general. So you're getting $16 worth of content or $15 worth of content right there, not to mention the price up on top. So really for the Xbox itself, if you go with the $19.99 option, you're only paying $5 a month for the Xbox. The rest goes toward access of over 100 games. It goes toward multiplayer access, all of that type of stuff as well. So I think when you looked at the bundle deal together, this becomes such a good option for parents. I mean, if you look at the holiday season, I almost feel like this is the way to go instead of even buying it outright unless you get a crazy Black Friday deal just because of the subscription deal you get alongside it. There's just so much value built into that. And really, I think the idea of Xbox discounting it here because of that is A, you'll either upgrade to the next system next year, or B, you'll at least resubscribe to Game Pass because of how much content you get out of it. So I think that's really the big seller. I think that's why the price is so low on this overall. And if you look at it as well, if you go 24 months at $19.99 and really you're getting a cut of only $5 for the Xbox, you're really paying a lot less for that Xbox, but still unlocking the whole thing. Because like the phones, this is a lease-to-buy option. So if you keep paying it, it does end up becoming your own console. There is no end. It's just a complete buyout at a much cheaper price than face value. So I think overall, this is a really good deal. If I'm a parent looking to buy a console for a child, this is honestly the way I probably look at this point if this deal stays around. Big, big move here. Mixer, Twitch, and Caffeine. We've seen so much jump between them. YouTube gaming as well. A lot of streamer competitiveness jumping around between who has the most followers, who has the most streamers. Where are the viewers going to nowadays? Twitch is still dominating, but Mixer continues to make big moves. Shroud, one of the biggest streamers on Twitch. In fact, the top two, Ninja and Shroud, the top two streamers on Twitch in 2018 are now Mixer exclusive. John, how big is this deal?
It's massive. Shroud and Ninja, you could easily make the argument that they're one and two. Shroud, before Ninja really blew up, was the number one streamer on Twitch. I mean, those are two massive names. Losing Ninja was huge. Huge against Twitch. Massive for Mixer. Now you're bringing essentially the second largest streamer from Twitch over to Mixer also. I mean, you have arguably the top two streamers in the world right now streaming exclusively on Mixer. If I'm Twitch, that hurts. That hurts big time. You know, are they going to follow people over? Are viewers going to follow them over to Mixer? Probably. Are they going to give up on Twitch in total? No. They're still going to find other people to watch. There's other great streamers on Twitch as well. But this is a pattern that I don't see Twitch doing too much to stop. Mixer has the money. They're backed by Microsoft. Microsoft is serious about gaming. They're serious about esports. They're serious about streaming. This is the start of something bad for Twitch. And I'm kind of curious to see what Twitch is going to do to try to stop this. To see if they can stop it before it becomes like an opening of the floodgates. Before everyone, you know, hypothetically speaking, if it goes this way, flooding over to Mixer. Shroud and Ninja going over to Mixer is a huge blow against Twitch just from content standpoint.
Right, and I think one of the bigger deals here is how pro streamer this is in general.
Yeah.
Because now Mixer, Xbox, Microsoft, whatever you want to classify them as, are paying big name streamers to come over. Eventually, does this mean we might have to see Twitch pay out streamers just to stay on their platform as well? I think that becomes a possibility now.
Yeah.
Because if they're not going to pay them, what's going to keep streamers attached there if Microsoft's waving a few $100 bills here and there, in this case, $1 million bills? So, I mean, to me, at least from an exclusivity standpoint, I feel like this means Twitch has to start splashing more cash, or they have to give more ad revenue, or they have to allow more money from Amazon Prime subs or something. They need some way for people to make more money on their platform or to have a reason to stay there. Because if, let's say, Tfue, the third biggest streamer over on Twitch, third at the time when these two are over there, what if Microsoft says, hey, Tfue, we'll pay you this much money to come over? Does Twitch just sit around and allow their third top streamer of these three, with two of them already gone, now probably their top streamer, do they allow him to just walk to Mixer after they did this with Ninja, after they did with the Shroud? Obviously, the numbers themselves are still very pro-Twitch. I mean, most of the viewers are still over there. Some viewers have followed Shroud and Ninja over. It's not been a massive, huge amount of numbers that have come over. Like you said, some users still watch both. Some users have come over for Ninja and Shroud. Some people who are already on Mixer have started checking them out more. But there hasn't been a giant exodus of Twitch fans and viewers just because of these particular moves. I think it's a move in the right direction for Mixer, but I think it's still very far from getting them even a real big cut of Twitch's territory. At the same point, stuff like this adds up. It's like interest. If you leave it in there, it's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to build. And eventually, it's going to bite you in the butt if you're Twitch. Especially keeping in mind that Mixer, a lot of their new features from this past year and the year before, Twitch has taken over after they were released on Mixer. So I think Twitch still has plenty of creativity over there. I think there's a lot of good stuff in Twitch's case. I mean, we're with Twitch. We love Twitch. We really admire a lot of the things they do here. At the same point, Mixer is showing that they are going to be competitive in this sense. So I'm excited to see how this builds out. I think this is really good for streaming in general. I think if anything, it's going to bring more attention to both platforms. I really don't see Twitch losing a lot of viewers. I think Twitch is a great streaming platform. I think Mixer is going to continue to grow as well. But in more than anything, I think we see more streamers and more viewers get involved. We're going to see more people streaming on both Twitch and Mixer. We're going to see a lot more viewers come out to both parties, especially as this streaming war becomes more mainstream. You're going to have more people interested in it, more mainstream people buying in. And then I think this is where you start getting more and more viewers who may have never touched game streaming or may have never viewed an esport event start to come to these two platforms. I think in general, the thing to really watch is the esport scenes. Once esport league contracts are up, I'm curious to see who ends up with them, whether it be YouTube gaming, Twitch, Mixer, or Caffeine. That's really what I'm watching next.
Yeah, I think a great example or analogy to use here is network television. You have shows that are exclusive to certain networks, ABC, CBS, Fox. You know, there's certain sport leagues that have exclusive viewership rights, ESPN, Fox Sports, you know, NBC Sportsnet. Kind of the same thing here that, you know, this is the kind of the path that streaming is going to go down. Is if you're going to if you want to watch a certain program like Ninja or Shroud, you're going to have to go to Mixer. Just like if you want to watch, you know, let's say the World Series for baseball, you have to go to Fox. You can't watch it on ABC. You can't watch it on ESPN. That's the same thing. They're both owned by Disney. But but the point still stands is that's the kind of the way that we're going right now. And that's fine. And League of Legends is another great example here because they're you know, the term is simulcast. You know, they're on YouTube. They're on Twitch. You know, just like network television, you like a show called Friends, you know, back in the days. Friends is all over the freaking, it used to be exclusive to one network, and now it's all over the place. You know, that's how shows work. That's how entertainment happens. You pay big money for exclusive content. That's what Mixer's doing. Twitch needs to catch up. Otherwise, you're going to be losing some big, big names.
Right, and there's a lot to lose there, especially in this streaming market. And like I said, I think Twitch has a huge foothold already. I think they're going to maintain a lot of that foothold. If anything, I do think we see Twitch continue to grow, as well as Mixer, Caffeine, YouTube Gaming, all these other streaming platforms. Streaming in general, I see massive, massive growth numbers in over the years to come. I think some people may transfer platforms here and there, whether they be streamers or viewers, but overall, I think the whole streaming market is going to continue to grow pretty big. Sony exclusive title Death Stranding is coming to PC in early 2020. The big thing here, John, is the fact that we see Sony now continuing to make moves that Xbox and Microsoft have already made this past year. Xbox and Microsoft putting all of their exclusive titles on PC. So a lot of people are thinking Sony's going to completely dominate the console war even more than they already did because all of their titles are still exclusive to PlayStation. Now we're seeing one of their biggest releases for next year coming to PC as well. It's coming about 2 to 3 months later than the console release. At the same point, I think this opens up a big, big doorway as well. Personally, I think Sony still continues to dominate the console market moving into next year. I could be completely wrong, but I think they have a great foothold there already. But now looking at this with them coming to PC, I think it opens it up a bit more to the transition we saw between PS2 and PS3 with Xbox 360 jumping in. Again, I don't know how it'll play out, but as a PC gamer, this makes me very happy. The Last of Us Part 2 has been delayed to spring 2020 as well, so somewhat bad news for PlayStation fans. I think the bright side of this is the fact that they are taking time to polish the game to make sure it releases well. I mean, we've seen other games this year alone get rushed to release. Anthem, hello, BioWare. That one got rushed out way too early. It needed 6 months to even come alive to a decent game. I still would argue it has a lot of room to improve from what I've heard. It's gotten much better, but there's still a lot of that room to improve. If they would have taken that extra 6 months before releasing it, it probably could have had a lot nicer, cleaner launch, at least at the very least. So this to me, yeah, is disappointing in the moment for PlayStation owners. At the same point, I think they can rejoice in the fact that they know the game is getting more polished. At least I would hope that's what this release is, or this delayed release is. So I think this is good news overall, even though it looks bad up front. Last but not least, in addition to Rick Fox's esports comedy show that CBS gave the green light to, NBC is developing one of their own. So we are seeing two big primetime network television esports comedy shows coming to cable television, or streaming if you're a streamer, developing one of their own executive producer of the Big Bang Theory behind it. So you're looking at NBC, CBS. CBS has the Rick Fox deal. NBC has the people behind Big Bang Theory working on their own esports comedy, both looking at primetime hours. This to me is giant, John. I think they're... With any kind of comedy show, there's going to be a negative vibe to it. Potentially, I think a lot of people will have fun with it, sometimes a little too much fun, and people will get offended. But overall, you're bringing esports to more of a mainstream audience, and I think really any publicity is good publicity in this sense.
Yeah, and you know, it's really telling of the times that we're in when we're seeing esports becoming more and more mainstream. You know, you see it all over social media when the boomers get upset because they can't watch their... you know, International League of Dart Throwing because there's an Overwatch League game on ESPN. You know, it's ridiculous, but, you know, that's where we're at. And it's kind of funny because this past weekend on Saturday Night Live, there's a small skit that was done with Chance the Rapper covering League of Legends, or as Chance's character called it, the League of Legos. But it was kind of funny because they played on a lot of stereotypes that baby boomers do have of esports. It was, as Slasher called it, boomer humor, which is very fitting. There were some questionable jokes in there. There was a couple racy jokes, if you will. And, you know, those kind of borderline offended a lot of people. So, you know, that's something that they're going to have to look at doing also. But they also hit on a lot of the gaming culture that is incredibly way too true. Like the e-girl, you know, fandom that's out there for these players. You know, that's something that they hit on. And also, like, the crazy amounts of money that are being thrown into these tournaments, which is a good thing. So they hit on that, and, like, there's a lot of, like, funny reactions to how much money they're making. So overall, I think the skit went over really well for Saturday Night Live on NBC. So I feel like there is potential for both of these sitcoms going forward. I can't wait to see the pilot episodes for both of these on CBS and NBC. I think there's a lot of potential here, but they do have to figure out that line and where they can and can't cross it.
With that, John, we have a big event this week. We have BlizzCon coming up for Blizzard. Again, we've seen a lot of negative reactions about the Hong Kong thing. Since then, a lot of resolutions have happened. We've seen suspensions reduced. We've seen cut of pay given back. There's been a lot of movement here and there based on the feedback that Activision Blizzard received from their fans. So now that all that is not quite all the way overway, it's still going to carry over to this to a degree. But BlizzCon, their big gaming event for the year, lots of fans are still excited. We're going to see new games, new content, new expansions coming at BlizzCon. What are some things you're expecting to see? Obviously, Overwatch 2, we've seen some speculation. No one's quite sure what that is. We've also heard thoughts of maybe an Overwatch mobile game coming out.
Please, no.
Listeners, I wish you could see John's face if you're not live with us on Twitch right now. But overall, John, what are your thoughts on BlizzCon this year? Are there anything in particular that surprises you or sticks out?
So a couple things. On the main day, there's four really mystery events that are going to take place after the opening ceremony on the Mythic stage. No one knows what they're going to be. There's speculation that one's going to be an Overwatch thing where they dive deeper into whatever the Overwatch announcement is going to be. Is it Overwatch 2? Is it Overwatch Chapter 2 taking a page out of Fortnite? We don't know. We do know there is a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors out there that there will be a separate PvE-style Overwatch game coming out, which for a lot of PvE fans are really excited about. Chance for them to explore their lore a little bit more into Overwatch. A lot of other rumors have a new World of Warcraft expansion, so I'll definitely keep an eye out for that. A lot of people are making a lot of connections with the Legion timeline, with when certain patches came out for Legion. It's very similar to how BFA is currently going, so a lot of people are expecting a WoW announcement for the next expansion pack. A lot of people are expecting a major Hearthstone announcement as well. Some people are hoping for a Heroes of the Storm announcement. I hate to tell you, that game is still dead. No one really cares about it anymore. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. But a lot of people are expecting a Heroes of the Storm announcement. Diablo 4. If they even bring up Diablo Immortal or whatever the stupid mobile game is, that place will burn to the ground faster than anything. They will riot at BlizzCon if they go that route again. So I feel like a new Diablo title is going to be finally announced, and a lot of people are speculating there might be a brand new IP as well. Not too much information being thrown out there. A lot of people are just saying how hush hush and secretive they've been that it wouldn't surprise anyone if they did come out with a new IP. So that's something I'll be looking out for as well. But this BlizzCon has potential to be absolutely massive.
Yeah, I mean, big stuff. I think Diablo 4 has to drop. If they don't, like you said, I think there's riots in the streets. You said it with the mobile game. I think I say it if they don't release Diablo 4. Fans have been waiting so long for that. Personally, I want to see a Heroes of the Storm or at least World of Warcraft auto chess version. I really want to see Blizzard jump in there and compete with what we already see in Dota 2 and these other mobile companies like Droido, League of Legends, obviously, with TFT. I really want Activision Blizzard to jump into that. I think they have some of the richest lore out there that they could make amazing game boards with. If they combine their titles like they did with Heroes of the Storm, I think it could be a really good and actually a well-done love letter for fans. Heroes of the Storm was that for a while, kind of, but it didn't really fall off, and I think it was too late to the party. I think with Auto Chess, if they release it here in November or shortly after, I think they're still close enough that they could jump in. I think they waited too long on the Heroes of the Storm MOBA. League of Legends and Dota 2 already had such a strong foothold. We see that kind of happening with TFT, but I think there is still time if they get it out there quickly. So I do want to see that. And Overwatch 2, I'm nervous. Love the idea of new PvP or PvE. Love the idea of this new game mode that's being teased called Push. It really reminds me of, if you go back to Call of Duty 3, there was a mode called War. Absolutely love playing that game mode. It sounds like Push would be very similar to that game mode, which I think is a great move by them if that's the direction they go. But John, this needs to be free to play. If it's not a chapter 2 option, it needs to be free to play. If it is a chapter 2 option, I want to see it as free DLC, but I think we end up maybe getting it as paid DLC. But I want free. I want free really badly. Not because I don't want to pay, not because I don't want to support the developer, but because I want to see the esports scene thrive. I think it's doing well, but I think if you go as a free title, you look at League of Legends, you look at CSGO, there's so much potential to get more players in, more viewers in, if you go free to play. I really, really, really hope Overwatch 2 is free to play, because if it's another $60 game, I think they really, really shoot themselves in the foot. Maybe $20, but I still think free-to-play is the way to go. So yeah, BlizzCon's exciting. John and I will be checking that out on Friday and then reporting back next week as well as this weekend of what we go over. Maybe see some live tweets, some Instagram stories, depending on how excited we get about the next Diablo mobile game. Okay. League of Legends, the game itself. 1 in 2 Korean PC bang players are playing League of Legends. This is a game that is freaking a decade old. It just had its 10th anniversary this past weekend. 50.33% of players, to be exact, as of statistics listed on GameMetrics.com on October 21st, 2019, say that 50% of Korean PC bang players are playing League of Legends 10 years after it released. This, to me, John, is a feat of amazingness. This is practically miraculous in the gaming world. We see technology moving so quickly. We see games get outdated almost every day, it feels like. Now we have a game that's been around for 10 years, and not only has it been around, but its user numbers are still growing. And in practically the esports capital of the world, in Seoul, South Korea, in South Korea in general, this game is still pulling in 50% of players in the gaming cafe. That, to me, is freaking amazing.
Yeah, and like, let's not hide the fact that it's been close to 50% for years. It's nothing new. Like, these numbers of players in these PC bangs playing League of Legends isn't anything new. But I think the big storyline here is just for how many years it's been consistent. Like, even when World of Warcraft was at its peak, especially in the esports scene, that only lasted for maybe 4 or 5 years. You know, there's still a WoW esports scene. But when you compare it to League of Legends, it's not even close. You can make an argument that the closest rival to League of Legends is maybe Overwatch League, maybe CSGO. But at the end of the day, nothing pulls in more consistent numbers day in and day out than League of Legends. There's no game out there that consistently has a massive player base that is consistently growing on almost a daily level like League of Legends does. It's really shattering the gaming industry and what gamers are actually coming to expect when new titles do come out. Like you said, Joe, it's a free-to-play game. It's free-to-play. You didn't have to put down $30. You didn't have to put down $60 to get the collector's edition, and you didn't have to drop $99.99 to get the ultimate limited, you know, oh my gosh, I'm a stupid, you know, super fan, you know, limited edition version of the game either with, you know, you don't have to do that. It's a free game. You don't have to pay any money towards it whatsoever if you do not choose to. You can unlock everything in the game just by playing it. You can get it done faster if you spend money, but it's not required. That is gaming. It has worked for over 10 years exactly now. 10 years for Riot and League of Legends. It is shocking that other developers don't do this. It's proven. Fortnite is doing it and is absolutely raking it in right now. But yeah, honestly, it's not surprising. It's not surprising those numbers are still holding strong in South Korean PC bangs. But the big story here, Joey, is the fact that's been going on for year after year after year.
And growing.
Yeah.
It's growing year after year. It's just incredible. Insane. To me. And just one more point here, John. So let's say you spent $60 on Overwatch to get the game, or $40, whatever you ended up spending. And then League of Legends, you started playing for free. If you add it up, you don't have to give me a total. But if you looked at the amount of money you spent on both games, paying for one up front, a suitable, let's say $60 in this case, versus a free game, which one have you spent more money on?
I don't want to talk about it.
You spent more money on League of Legends, I guarantee.
Way more.
And probably 3 to 4 times as much. And yeah, you can argue the release date. I would argue just after the amount. If you look at just when Overwatch released and the amount you spent on Overwatch then compared to League of Legends, you still spent so much more in League. And it's that free-to-play model. You want to give back to developers is one way in some cases. Maybe not your case. I don't know. But it could be those fancy skins they release. Do I want a chance of that fancy skin with a loot box? Or do I want to buy that skin outright? I think that's one big reason. The other one being you didn't spend money up front for the game. So you feel much more willing to spend a little bit here or there. I'm not going to spend that much money in a game that I already paid $60 for. Unless I'm playing hours upon hours a game. And I know exactly what I'm getting. With Overwatch, I love the game. I think it's really great. But again, I spent $60 up front for it, actually twice because I have it on PC and Xbox. And then on top of that, you only have a chance at certain skins unless you get tons of currency. So I think there's really something special about that free-to-play model, and I hope we see more games, maybe starting with Overwatch 2 if it is a brand new game, going with this free-to-play model.
I really don't like the fact you brought up how much money I've spent on that game.
I didn't spend up how much. I just said it was more than $60.
It was a lot more than $60.
Because
I've been playing it for 10 years. So, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. We're just going to leave it there, Joey.
It's been a pretty penny for both of us, I'm sure. The ranked season, if you were playing League of Legends ranked, you have a little less than a month now, about 3 weeks to get stuff done. Ranked season ends November 19th. For those of you who do end up making it to gold, I believe it's a championship Aatrox skin this year, if I remember correctly. So go get that fancy Aatrox skin while he's still in meta before he gets mega nerfed. And then you can't play him next season. But hey, at least you got a fancy skin for it. A really good stuff there. Ranked season, again, November 19th. Speaking of League of Legends, though, John, we cannot end this podcast without talking about Worlds. We had the Worlds quarterfinals this past weekend. Dun, 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 dun. Prediction wise, I went 3-1, so 3 out of 4, and John went 2 out of 4 on this week's. We both had IG winning over Griffin. We said 3-2. The end result ended up being 3-1 in favor of IG.
Check mark.
Fun plus Phoenix and Fnatic. We both said 3-1. We hit the score line, but we did not have the correct champion. Fnatic got demolished because Joey Youngbuck is still learning how to draft in the semi quarterfinals of Worlds here.
You're,
hey,
you're not salty at all, are you?
Man, they did so bad at that stupid Garen combo in freaking group stage, and they bring it out first game here. Let's give all the momentum to the top-seeded Chinese team. Yeah, it's a great plan, if you ask me. Yeah, not happy. I don't think Fnatic was going to go on to win the whole thing. I ended up taking them in my bracket just because I went with my heart instead of my mind. My mind told me IG would come out of this side of the bracket. I think IG does. Again, they won 3-1 over Griffin, Phoenix plus 3-1 over Fnatic. Now we have a Chinese final here. I believe it's the Chinese number one and the number... It was 2 or 3 that IG ended in this year. So really exciting semifinal there. On to the other side, the other hopes of Europe in the LEC. Splice went down to SKT, but not before taking a game off of them. That one goes in favor of SKT, 3-1. We both hit that, John. I think we said 3-0 or 3-1. I don't remember, but we both got the winner correct. And then G2 Damwon. G2 came out 3-1. I picked G2. You picked Damwon. That sets us up for the top seed of the LCK. Up against the top seed of the LEC. So moving to that semifinal matchup number one, IG Phoenix Plus, John. I have IG advancing. My mind has told me IG will be in the final. I think IG does move on here. Phoenix Plus did get the best of them throughout the spring and summer split of this past season, but I think IG has enough. They have the momentum behind them. They're the defending champions. I think this goes 3-1 or 3-2. I'm going to go 3-2 and give Phoenix a bit of an edge. So IG 3-2.
I'm going to agree with you, but... Fun plus Phoenix has really kind of like proven me wrong the entire tournament. So I am incredibly nervous picking IG 3-2. I think Fun plus Phoenix could easily pull this off. I really do. I do think it's going to go 5 games. I don't think you're going to have like a 3-1 or a 3-0. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. But I'm going to pick IG, but I am fully expecting the Fun plus upset.
Okay, so we both go IG over Fun Plus 3-2 in this one. A little upset flair being thrown up as well.
Big upset
SKT
flare.
SKT G2. I think you shut down Doin B. If you do it with Rookie there, I think they can really contain this team. So I think IG comes out in this one. SKT G2, however, what is your prediction in this one?
You can't pick against SK. Pardon me, SKT. You know, you can't go off of what they did last year. That was a terrible performance by them. It feels like they found their mojo again. Their game against Splice, I don't think that's a real indication of anything. It's Splice. Splice and G2, I'd argue there's a pretty big gap there skill-wise. I think G2 can compete against SKT, but SKT is still going to take it. I think it's going to be another 3-1 scoreline. I think G2, if they get a little spicy with their comp, a little spicy with some of their plays, maybe catch Faker sleeping a little bit in the early game, they might be able to get an early gold lead and capitalize off of it. They might be able to pull a game or two off, but I still think SKT takes it. I'm going to say 3-1.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I'm going to go with the opposite side. I'm going to take G2 in this one. G2 has already got me one win over you. I'm going to hope they get me a second one here. I'm going to go G2 3-2. G2 showed that they can win against SKT at MSI. Obviously, a lot has changed. We've seen SKT lose at MSI before and steamroll at Worlds. They're looking pretty good so far. They've given up a game to two European teams. I think they give up 2 to 3 games to G2. This is where I throw my flare up. I think SKT could easily come out of this one, but I am going to take G2 to advance 3-2. Prior to Worlds, before we saw any groups or anything, my prediction for the finals was SKT versus G2. Both these teams have made it to the semifinals. Unfortunately, they cannot face each other in the finals. So this, to me, is a little preview of what we have to go in the final matchup. I think G2 comes out on top again. I'm going to go with them 3-2, but I think this is the matchup, potentially the best matchup of the whole tournament. Good stuff, sir. So we'll see how those play out. So far, we did pretty well in the group stage. Not so well. We're like 3/4, 50-50 here in the old good old quarterfinals. But a lot of fun Worlds actions ahead. Semifinals, again, taking place this weekend. Check those out. This is the best League of Legends action that I cannot speak of, but that you can watch this weekend, Worlds 2019.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and the show. Joey, where else can our listeners of Level Up Nation go to interact with us and the show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at The Level Up Podcast. That is The LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. If you're a listener of this show, you can catch that show, the VOD feed, the video feed of both of us, twitch.tv/OTN_live, Monday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news and the full BlizzCon recap. Do your ears a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online, and as always,
level up.